Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. That's what more than one person who has been duped before says, anyway. And given the number of creative but devious scams that are out there, it seems like a good idea to be a bit skeptical when someone offers you something for nothing. But then does that also apply to the church, to theology, to religious things? You're telling me that God created all this in 6 days? That a dead man was raised from the dead and floated up into heaven, and I don't have to do anything in order to be saved from my sins? That God has done it all already? Sounds too good to be true to me. Faith is hard, isn't it? We want to be able to trust God, but we've been burned before. We want what He says to be true. But it just sounds too good. If only He would give us a sign. If only we could test Him and see some results. Then it'd be easier for us to believe. And in this very way, the devil began to tempt God's first man and woman, causing them to doubt what God had said, and then causing them or helping them to disobey God. And after that great victory, He has been tempting and preying on us humans ever since. And because of our fallen nature, He always has the upper hand. We are not just skeptics by experience, but by birth. And we will remain that way until we die. Because of our fallen nature and our skeptical from birth mind, we can't choose to believe in or trust in God. We are not capable of such a decision. He must come to us, and by word and water, through His Holy Spirit, He must convert us to faith in Christ. It is and always must be God who does this. Man in sin simply cannot. Thanks be to God, therefore, that a champion has now come to fight for us and for our salvation. This champion was not bound by sin and death as we are bound by sin and death. Yet He was not immune from the devil's temptations. He faced them as Adam faced them before him, and as each man has faced them since. But He is greater than the first Adam. He is greater than every man. Scripture says of this champion that He is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because He has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He was without sin. After God the Father in heaven prepared Him by baptism and the gift of the Spirit of God led Him out into the wilderness to do battle, to go to war for you and for me. In that wilderness, for 40 days, He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, He was hungry. We are told about 3 very specific temptations that the devil used with Jesus. On the surface, each one of these temptations is different. But in reality, they are all exactly the same. The first involved food. The second, trust, or where trust is placed. The third had to do with authority and power. But really, all the devil wants Jesus to do is what he wanted Adam and Eve to do, to doubt God's word, to reject His will, to do his own thing. He wanted Jesus to worship other gods, to worship Him, to set aside the true God. Finally, that's what all temptation is. That's what all sin is. A breaking of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. The devil began his first temptations to Jesus with the words, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." It's as if the devil was standing right there on the banks of the Jordan River, watching as Jesus was baptized, as the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and as the voice from heaven spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." For now, the devil does to Jesus exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. Did God really say that you were his son? Did he mean it that way? Surely not. If you are his son, then it'd be okay if you went ahead and proved it. And this attack comes upon him when he's already weak and hungry. And the devil uses something as simple as a loaf of bread to try and get him to deny his Lord. He wanted Jesus to sin. The devil uses many simple things in order to tempt you and me to sin as well. Whether it's food or the latest clothing line or cash or sex or whatever it is that your heart desires, he brings his vile attack upon you when you are the weakest. He tries to get you to question God's words of promise. Did God really say that you are his child? Prove it. He wants you to worship things in current fashion, to worship creation itself, rather than the creator of all things. And we often fall victim to this attack of the devil and plunge into sinful thoughts and desires and into behaviors that are not worthy of Christians. But Jesus didn't falter. The champion, the greater Adam, answered the devil's attack with God's own word. It is written, "Man does not live by bread alone." The rest of that verse that Jesus quotes says, "But on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Physical hunger is nothing. Spiritual hunger is what matters. And there's only one way to feed that spirit something that is good: from God's holy word. But the devil never stops at only one attack. He knows that he has a good chance to defeat the one he is attacking. It worked with Adam and Eve. It can work with you. Maybe it will work with Jesus. In Jesus' case, the devil leads him to the highest point of the temple, to the very pinnacle. He says to him again, "If you are the Son of God, prove it." "I don't believe you. I want proof. Throw yourself down from here. If you are the Son of God, then what is written about you in the Psalms will be true. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." If you are the Son of God, you've got nothing to worry about. Throw yourself down from here. You'll be fine. This time, the devil reveals that he knows God's word. He's ramped up his attack. It's no longer simple bread. It's as if Jesus doesn't do what he says, then he'll be denying God's word. He again wants him to prove his divinity. But in quoting God's word against God, the devil removes a part of the text, the part about the angels guarding him in all his ways. That means even in this current temptation. You see, we humans always mess this up. You heard it from Eve when the devil questioned her. "Did God really say you may not eat of it?" "Yes, that's what he said. Not only did he say we shall not eat of it, but we also can't touch it." She made up a word of God and inserted it, as if he had spoken it. Here the devil omits God's word. This is what he does. He tries to lead us astray, to cause us to doubt and question. That's what he wants to do with Jesus. This is a deadly weapon of his in his attacks against Christians. We think that we know God's word fairly well, yet we simply don't recognize the many ways that the devil and the world twist and omit bits and pieces of this holy word to make it say whatever they want, so that they can lead people astray, so that they can make them think that if you don't do this, then you must be disobeying God. We have only to look to the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They had the same word of Holy Scripture that Jesus had, yet they did not know the way of salvation. They were called blind guides. We see the same thing when we look at the Pope or the Mormon Church of today, or even closer to home, to those many Christian denominations that don't believe that baptism saves or that Christ's body and blood aren't really present in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, as he says. Each one of these groups claims support for their beliefs from Holy Scripture, yet they contradict one another. But God's Word doesn't contradict itself. God does not contradict God. There is only one truth, one word of truth. Finally, after these two failed attempts with Jesus, the devil led him up to a high mountain, and in an instant he showed him all of the great kingdoms of the world. He offered Jesus the authority which had been given to him. It has been given to him, authority over these temporal kingdoms of this earth. This is his realm and his domain. God gave him that authority and power. The devil offered Jesus that authority over all the kingdoms of the world. All Jesus has to do to get this great authority? Bow down and worship the devil. The devil tempted him with earthly power and authority, but like all of his other empty promises, this one was too good to be true as well. Like his temptation to Adam and Eve, like every promise that he has ever made to you, to me, or to the unbelieving world, his promise is empty. If Jesus would have bowed down and worshiped the devil, he would have given up the authority that God had already given him over the entire creation, not just over the temporal kingdoms of this world. He would have given up an eternal authority for a temporal one. With this, Jesus says to him, "Be gone, Satan." That's what the Word of God does. It says to this tempter, "Be gone. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus saw through all of the deceptions of the devil. He deflected his flaming arrows with the shield of the Word of God. He did not fall into sin like Adam had done. He is the champion who has come to fight, and he has defeated the devil. This text, though, does remind us that the world is a dangerous place for Christians to be. It is not our true home. For here we are always under attack. We are at war. No amount of deceiving ourselves or trying to balance the world and God's kingdom as if we can somehow live in both will ever change that. The devil is constantly looking for new and better ways to cause us to doubt God's word and to get us to put our trust in anything other than God. It doesn't matter what, as long as it's not him, as long as it's not the one who was crucified for our sins. But this text also reminds us that God promised Adam and Eve that he would send a Savior. You heard it in the Old Testament on Wednesday night and again today. The promise was not spoken to Adam and Eve, but to the devil, to the serpent. "I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. He shall crush your head, while you shall bruise his heel." This Savior that God promised would be perfect in every way. He would fulfill the law of God perfectly. He would be the second and greater Adam. He would defeat sin, death, and the devil forever. And that's what has happened. This champion has come. Because he did not give in to the temptations of the devil or forsake his Father's will, but went instead to the cross for the sins of the world, you can be saved. He died for all people, so that all people could be saved. He desires that everyone would hear this good news and come to a knowledge of faith in Christ and be saved. He desires that everyone would receive this free gift. The devil, whose power has been destroyed, continues to be able to deceive and lead multitudes to reject God and this free gift. They march merrily along the broad road that leads to destruction, never questioning the one that they follow, skeptical of anything that sounds Christian, fully willing to accept anything the devil says. But you are not one of those traveling that road. You are not one who is headed to hell. You have heard the word. The Holy Spirit has converted you in holy baptism. You have confessed your weaknesses and your sin. You have sought God's mercy and forgiveness. And more than that, He has come and sought you out. He has created in you a clean heart and a right spirit. And He has freely forgiven your sins. They are forgiven. Removed as far as the east is from the west. Your God is much stronger than the devil, than this world. He is much stronger than your doubt and your skepticism and your sin. And He has saved you from eternal death. When your Heavenly Father looks down on His creation and looks at you, He doesn't see someone who has denied and rejected Him over bread or power or temporal authority or clothing or cash or sex or anything else. He sees the precious blood of His perfect Son that covers you, and you are acquitted. In God's courtroom, the sentence is pronounced, not guilty. You are declared righteous in His sight. And by this, the devil is defeated in Christ's cross yet again. More than that, God does not leave you alone to fend off the devil for yourself. He sends His Holy Spirit to defend and protect and keep you in this true faith until you are called to be with your Heavenly Father forever. Yes, you are by nature sinful and unclean. You will be tempted and you will again fall away, but your many sins are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. It seems too good to be true, right? But it's not. It is true. Today in this life, we are called to take Christ at His word and to trust in Him without seeing. But one day we will be able to see with our eyes that He is true and that His free gift really is free. Until that day, blessed in Christ is he who has not yet seen and still believes. May God grant you this faith and peace in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.